This episode is sponsored by the Learn Jazz Standards Inner Circle. If your goal is to level up your jazz playing this year and feel confident improvising over jazz standards, the Inner Circle has everything you need and more. With monthly jazz standard studies, a library of powerful courses, and a vibrant community of like-minded musicians, you're guaranteed to improve your playing every single month. Podcast listeners can get 50% off their first month when you go to ljsinnercircle.com. That's ljsinnercircle.com or find the link in the show notes. Now, on to today's episode. All right, my friends, what's up? Brent here from Learn Jazz Standards. Welcome to another episode of the Learn Jazz Standards podcast. I am answering your jazz and music questions 5 days a week to help you become a better jazz musician. Of course, to help you have more fun than ever playing music. That's what this thing is all about. Today's question comes from Martin Kendall. Let's give it a listen.
Hey, Brent. Can we ever have a globally applicable first three steps to jazz improvisation basics?
Great question. So we've talked about in a previous episode about if I were to teach jazz improvisation to a total beginner, what would I do? And if you want to check that episode out later, that's called What's the Best Way to Learn How to Improvise? And I really approach the answer sort of to this question from a very beginner's point of view. And I would recommend listening to it because I give a much more thorough answer here. But a few of the things I talk about there are, you know, starting with first of all, learning a basic song, a very easy song, right? Everybody has to learn a song. Starting with a very basic tool, right? I mentioned like scales or even like short licks or ideas to show somebody. That's completely acceptable, right? When we're just starting out trying to get someone a quick win into improvisation and then kind of moving on from there, right? So I'm not going to go over the answer to this question from that perspective, but if we're talking about the basics of jazz improvisation, yes, I do have three steps, more in the sense of categories of things that everybody needs to be focusing on. Okay. I call these my three pillars of jazz improvisation. The three pillars of jazz improvisation. And if you're trying to become a better jazz improviser, really any instrument, doesn't matter what instrument you are, these are the three things that you must be doing at all points in time in order to improve as a jazz improviser, right? And I'll try to keep examples from each one of these categories very simple to honor the essence of the original question here. So what are the three pillars of improvisation? Pillar number one, and by the way, if you've like heard these before, I've changed the pillars orders a little bit from the ways I've taught this before, because I want to kind of order them more in what I view is of importance and go from there. And I haven't always done that. So pillar number one is jazz repertoire. Pillar one, number one is jazz repertoire. You need to learn jazz songs. Now, to some of you, that might sound obvious because in jazz, what do we improvise over? Well, most of the time it's jazz standards. Of course, it could be original compositions and so on and so forth. But in a jazz setting, we're talking about jazz standards. So you need to learn jazz standards, right? And you could start with like very basic song forms like the blues to get you going there. Or I've mentioned in the past beginner songs for musicians. If you're a beginner, like So What, or easy songs like that, right? Doesn't really matter, but on a regular basis, we need to be learning jazz standards. That's why the main thing we do in our Inner Circle membership is we learn one new jazz standard a month, because the jazz standards are the cornerstone of learning how to play jazz and getting better at jazz. The more standards you learn, the better you get by default, right? So you have to learn repertoire. So at all points in time, learn a song. The monthly the monthly rhythm is good, right? As far as like being able to really digest a song, get a lot out of it, and apply those lessons to the other tunes that you're learning elsewhere. But of course, you can learn more than that in a month. But one a month, it seems to be a nice project goal for a lot of our members that feels really good. So you could consider that cadence. But it's essential that if you want to learn how to improvise over jazz, the first pillar is jazz repertoire. You got to be learning jazz repertoire. Number two is jazz language. Pillar number two is jazz language. Okay, so it's essential that at all points in time, you are learning jazz language. And just to define what that means for those who don't know what I mean, it's how do I improvise over the chord changes and chord progressions that exist within jazz standards. And the way we do that is by listening to other great jazz musicians and how they approached that. So the most obvious ways to learn jazz language is what a lot of people talk about, which is learning solos or parts of solos by ear, or licks, aka short musical phrases from recordings, or perhaps also learning etudes, which are composed jazz solos. It's what we provide our members in our inner circle, for example. That's all just you like getting language and sounds and learning it on your instrument. Right. And yes, you can throw like theory in there and understanding how all that stuff works, but later, but that's not really what I'm talking about here. I'm literally just talking about if someone says to me, would you like to go to the store? And I have zero clue how to say, would you like to go to the store in English? Well, now someone just taught me, would you like to go to the store? And now I can say, would you like to go to the store? And then once we've learned how to say that sentence, it's our goal, if someone asks us back, which one, that we would figure out how to answer that, right? That's how improvisation starts, right? Is you learn some ideas, some lines, some ways to respond, some things you can possibly say over different musical contexts. And then you figure out how to respond either to yourself or to the other musicians based on what they're saying, right? That's why it's, you know, people always say, well, music is like a language, but it's not really like a language. It is a language is what it is. Right. And so it's really, really should be approached very much so in the same way as you would be learning, a new language that's not your own, right? A foreign language that's not your own. So at all given points, learning some kind of language is really important. Okay. That's pillar number two. Pillar number three is technique. Okay, at all given points of time, you should be working on some sort of technique. And there are two different categories of technique. The first is instrument-specific technique, okay? Notice that like the learning standards and the jazz language, like that's instrument agnostic. Anyone can do that. All instruments are doing the same thing there. But instrument specific technique are things that are specific to your instrument that you need to work with. So if you are a jazz guitar player, right? Knowing your voicings, fretboard mastery, that's all important stuff. If you're a piano player, knowing your voicings, knowing how to navigate your keyboard, understanding what shell voicings are, voice leading, all that stuff on your piano, right? If you're a trumpet player, right, working on long tones and things that are important for your embouchure and stuff like that. And fill in the blanks, like whatever the instrument specific technique is to you. And by the way, sometimes this bleeds into certain roles that you would need to play with your instrument. Like for example, a bass player is going to need to learn how to walk bass lines, right? Well, that almost goes more into the jazz language category, right? Like you're learning bass lines from great bass musicians or you're learning walking bass lines that have been composed like we provide in our inner circle jazz standard studies. And you're doing that kind of work for jazz language, but it is also technique too, right? It's something specific to your instrument. It's an instrument specific technique that you need to be able to do. And guitar players might also say, oh, a chord melody, right? Because sometimes playing solo guitar is a task as well as solo piano. And you know, that's a skill too that you might want to develop. But you can also do that technique, that instrument-specific technique, alongside of when you're learning jazz standards. That's why learning jazz standards and repertoire is the first pillar. So that's instrument-specific technique, but then there's what I would call jazz technique. And jazz technique applies to all instruments, right? Maybe not drummers, right? But any harmonica melodic instrument. And so that would be like, hey, chord tones. How do I play chord tones over the jazz standard I'm learning? How do I play guide tones over the jazz standard I'm learning? What are some more music theory sort of like technical concepts, like playing patterns over top of chords, or enclosure patterns, or bebop scales, or things like that? And again, notice how like technique is like the last one on the list here. Especially I listed this category as last on the list because it could be super important for someone. Like learning, being able to play the chord tones over a jazz standard is of paramount importance. Like you need to be able to do that because the chord tones are the basis of improvisation, right? You got to know those chord tones, how to resolve to them, right? But it's last on the list because like, especially when we start talking about scales and like bebop scales and stuff like that, those can be helpful tools to think about jazz improvisation, and they might resonate with you and help you, but they're not the most important thing in my opinion. At the same time, they shouldn't be ignored, and that's why they are one of the three pillars of jazz improvisation. So to review, you got pillar number one is jazz repertoire, pillar number two is jazz language, and pillar number three is technique. All right, my friends, that's all for today's episode. Remember that knowledge without action isn't really knowledge at all. Remember that a lot of practice time isn't near as good as just a little bit of really good practice. As always, be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to the podcast, Spotify, Apple, or elsewhere. I don't want you to miss anything. And we have a great Fast Track Friday episode coming up for you tomorrow. So stay tuned to that. Until next time, happy practicing and cheers. Hey, podcast listener, would you like to ask me a jazz question and get it answered here on the show? Then go to learnjazzstandards.com/ask. That's learnjazzstandards.com/ask. I look forward to hearing your question and answering it on a future podcast episode. learnjazzstandards.com/ask, or find the link in today's show notes.